So during Susie's news, I mean, obviously, I was 100% paying attention, just hello? Like you, Dan.
Hello, hello.
100% paying attention. So there's something called The Strategist from New York Magazine. And The Strategist often has, like, you know, here are the 10 things you should buy for Father's Day, or here are the 5, you know, face creams that some celebrity can't live without. So when I saw we asked former New York Yankee and The Deal podcast host A-Rod about the snacks, sneakers, and reading glasses he can't live without, I'm like, well, this is,
oh boy,
this is not former New York Yankee. This is our guy, owner of the Timberwolves, Alex Rodriguez. Chipotle burrito bowl. I can crush a burrito bowl. I like to order a combo, chicken and steak. Then I like guac red sauce. One of my many vices is chips. I can't stay away from those damn chips. At this point, I have a PhD in chips. I like Cheetos. I like barbecue. I like Doritos. And I like...
Good luck, Timberwolves fans.
It's like, it's like he asked like his high school senior to, could you just write this crap for The Strategist? And then some of the stuff on this list, like obviously the business model here is you click on the link and they get like half a penny when you go order some chips. But like, one of these is Lysol laundry sanitizer additive, 0% bleach, crisp linen. This can't be real. This stuff kills bacteria on your laundry, which is awesome because I remember that polyester Yankee uniform would just stink. I mean, this is allegedly what...
I just can't understand why people used to refer to him as A-Fraud. I don't get it.
All right, let's do the D-Rush Hour news headlines.
Time to get you caught up on some of the biggest stories of the day. These are the D-Rush Hour headlines.
Good evening. Our top story.
This just in.
Our top story.
We begin tonight with...
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin with the lead.
And we begin with a settlement. The most divided legislature in the history of the state of Minnesota. If you added up the House and the Senate, you had 100 Republicans and 101 Democrats. The Republicans had a little bit of power, but not a lot of power, because they were tied in the House, but the Speaker was a Republican. But they were still evenly tied. The Democrats had a one-vote majority in the Senate. Minnesotans appeared... At least if you listen to the political brain wizards, they appeared to choose divided government after the DFL trifecta, where Democrats had the governor's office, the House, and the Senate. I disagree with that analysis. I think that some Republicans in some districts picked for a Republican candidate. I don't think anybody chose anything. But what do I know? What I do know is that in a one-day special session, about 2 weeks after the end of the session, lawmakers did pass a 2-year budget deal worth $66 billion. It is a reduction in spending. It did achieve what Republicans appeared to be holding the whole thing up for, which was making sure that undocumented immigrants, people who are here illegally, could not sign up for Minnesota Care, which is the insurance program. Democrats said that Republicans were taking away health care. They were causing people to die. But Republicans said in a time of budget tightness, we got to take care of people who are here legally first. I did ask Speaker of the House Lisa Damith, Representative Lisa Damith, if she felt like Republicans really got that much because they stopped or rolled that back. But otherwise, most of what the DFL trifecta passed is still part of Minnesota law.
Yeah, there is, Jason, and I think that's an important fact that I believe with Republicans in the tie and having a voice in this process, it almost provided an opportunity for Democrats where they maybe had some overreach to say, we may not like it, but maybe we need to compromise. So on earned and safe time, we were able to get some safeguards in the reporting process. Paid family medical leave, we wanted to make more meaningful changes because of what we've heard from the business community across the state, that program that is already behind in funding, and yet it hasn't even rolled out yet. And the IT system to make that actually work is not even ready, yet it's supposed to start January 1st. We were able to just roll back the tax on that on employers. We were able to roll that back just a small amount. We couldn't get some of the other things done that we wanted to do. We were also, for school districts, able to put in some safeguards around that unemployment for hourly workers. It's important to recognize that those hourly workers in schools are not unemployed, but yet they have jobs that finish during the summer. So we were able to get some language working with the DEED, so the Department of Employment and Economic Development, and the Department of Education, putting some safeguards there so people aren't just taking the summers off and getting paid. They're either looking for jobs or taking the jobs that schools are able to offer them. There were a number of other things. You mentioned the health insurance for undocumented people. We were able to stop that as of January 1st for 18 and over, just adults. We did maintain covering children. That is not taking away health care. It's making it so taxpayers are not on the hook for paying for health insurance for the undocumented population.
One of the other big things that did not happen in this session was changes to local sales tax. There was going to be a metro sales tax that would pass, and some of that money was going to go to Met Council instead of the counties, and that did not happen. What did happen was a bonding bill, and so $700 million will be invested in roads, bridges, dams, drinking water, and other public infrastructure. So it's been 2 years since there was last a bonding bill, and that we'll learn in the coming days sort of who gets what out of that situation. One other thing that did happen during the final days of the legislature is a tax hike. It's a tax hike, though, on a product that is not really for sale yet. The cannabis tax was going to be 10%. Now it will be 15%. Stephen Brown is the owner of Nothing But Hemp, and he is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Stephen, thanks for being with us. What is your reaction to that 15% tax rate?
It's just too high. When you add in the state sales tax and the local sales tax, you're getting close up to 27% in St. Paul and Minneapolis. The goal was to eradicate the black market. Now we're right up there with California.
What do you think that extra 5% is really going to make much of a difference in people who would be, you know, already paying what probably is going to be a markup compared to what cannabis was going for on the black market?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge black up. It's huge. I mean, from $40, $40 product will, after tax, will be around $51 or more. We're already seeing it in the hemp industry where people are just going over the Hudson and saving on the tax because they could buy hemp derived THC products, you know, right next door.
Yeah, I think it is a fascinating question, right? Whether people who are likely to go to a dispensary, you know, are they price sensitive? If you're somebody who's getting your cannabis from your guy on the black market, are you necessarily the kind of person who's going to the dispensary anyway? I'm curious how price sensitive. Yes, maybe if you can go to Wisconsin, but if you're in, you know, if you're in the center of the state or somewhere else, I don't know. I'm just asking if 5%, if it really will make that much of a difference.
I think it will. I mean, if we were around, you know, 5% or 10% on a tax, I think consumers are willing to find safe products and walk into a dispensary. I really think this is going to cut some of the marketplace down on the legal side. Just because right now you could, purchase an eighth for about $30 to $40 on the black market with no tax and have a quality product.
I mean, when you look around the country, right, California is about 15%, Arizona 16%, Colorado 15%, Delaware 15%. 15, I guess Oregon goes up to 17% and Washington goes to 37%. Montana, yep. 20%. We were sort of in the middle at 10, and it looks like we're still sort of in the middle on 15, right?
Well, not after you add in all the other.
It's the other. Yeah. Yep. It's the other sales tax that Minnesota is already higher on those states. Huh?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, so, the risk when they do this is that if sales go down, you don't even achieve the benefit of having that extra 5%, right?
Exactly. And now that, people can home grow up to, I believe it's like 4 plants, that's already going to be really tough for a lot of these businesses. And then you're adding this extra tax on top of it. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this rolls out. Mm-hmm. And we're one of the only states that has a cannabis tax on hemp. And so that's extremely strange and odd. So if you go to your local liquor store and you're buying a 4-pack, THC beverage, you're going to be hit with a 15% tax on top of your regular sales tax.
What is your sense? I don't know. Have you applied for a license to sell cannabis as well? What's your status? I know we had the first round of lottery that happened last week, but what are you guys at?
Yeah, so we did not apply for a license. We are still looking at the industry as a potential option for us, and we could always purchase a license. And that's what we're looking at. We want to see how things kind of roll out. It's been really a really difficult rollout in Minnesota. And I don't think necessarily right now being the first is the best. We want to see what happens.
Stephen Brown, we appreciate you spending some time with us talking about that 15% tax that was part of this budget compromise. 520, that is D Rush Hour News Headlines, The Lead. In just a minute, we turn the page and go to page 2, where we will talk about Maple Grove, more than just the restaurant capital of Minnesota, a very expensive water filter for Stillwater, and what athletes have made the most money playing in Minnesota. Drive Time, back in just a minute on CCO. D Rush Hour News Headlines, page 2. Should travel writers gatekeep all of the secret treasures?
I'm a travel writer. I've been traveling the world and writing about my travels since 1986.
Oh, my goodness.
I've written 15 books.
This travel writer certainly should be
articles. And I've been talking and traveling with the 14th Dalai Lama for 45 years.
That travel writer should. Pico Iyer with a really interesting story in the New York Times, because it's travel writers and food writers who have to think about this, and it's worse for travel writers. This idea of sharing little-known secrets. Pico in the New York Times writes, when I first began writing about foreign wonders, I could extol the hidden jewel known as the Lotus Cafe in Ubud, because few people would ever read my account, and even fewer would dream in 1988 of flying to Bali. Well, now you mention a secret bar in Barcelona. It gets to 11 million readers in every corner of the planet, many of whom are on their way to Spain very soon, or at least know of others who will be. If you're a book reviewer or a movie reviewer, no one is mad that you gave away this secret movie, right? Everyone's excited, like, wonderful. This overlooked novel or overlooked movie just got attention. But destinations are fragile. Many cannot bear the weight of thousands. Pretty interesting sort of dilemma. I am not a gatekeeper, but I do think about it, like, and so do you guys. When you text me places and tell me not to tell anyone, I know. I know what you're saying, and I'm nervous about it too. Maple Grove is not just the restaurant capital of Minnesota. Oh, no. It is soon to be the biomedical technology capital. Minnesota Star Tribune reporting that Boston Scientific is selling its Minnetonka lab and office and moving everybody up I-94 to Maple Grove. Construction underway on a 52,000 square foot expansion of their 79-acre campus on Weaver Lake Road. And maybe you've seen, if you've driven, like if you're on the way to the cabin or up towards St. Cloud, you see this massive 400,000 square foot campus going in. That is Boston Scientific. Employees will start moving in there by the end of the year. You know, it's called Boston Scientific. Kind of a raw deal for us. There are 10,000 Minnesota employees there. All eight of the company's divisions do business in Minnesota. This is one expensive Brita filter for the city of Stillwater.
Water. Water. Water.
Oil. Oil. Room service. Room service.
Spaceballs. Mary Devine at TwinCities.com. Fighter Press reporting that Stillwater is getting a temporary water treatment facility. They're trying to clean out those PFAS, the forever chemicals. It'll cost $2.5 million, and they're going to build this thing right next to well number 10 near Benson Park. And they're using granulated activated carbon. And that's why I'm saying, like, get everybody a Brita.
That's a Brita filter, yeah.
I assume I don't have PFAS in my water, but I don't think the water tastes very good. I think well water in Maple Grove. Little jealous of your Minneapolis, St. Paul people and your Mississippi River water. What's the best water you've ever had in your life, Dan Cook? Or do you not notice the different taste?
I have no clue.
I should have known.
Yeah.
When I lived in Milwaukee,
I have a tap and you turn it on.
Oh, it's so
and
gross.
Then water comes out.
Lake Michigan water is the best water I've ever had. Don't you like the segment we do during the state fair with the water sommelier? I mean, that is. All right, let's talk about what athletes have made. Now, think about it before I reveal. What athletes have made the most money playing in Minnesota? Money, 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 money. So Axios Twin Cities reporting that we have a couple new members to the $100 million club. Rudy Gobert, the Timberwolves center, and Carlos Correa have joined the $100 million club. Rudy's made $123 million. Carlos has made $143 million. But, Dan, like, it's sort of obvious who's, well, I would think it's obvious, but I don't know if people would assume it's Anthony Edwards or
Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett.
Would have been one that popped into my head. But this guy absolutely would be my guess, yes.
Joe Mauer.
Yeah.
$233.3 million. KG, pretty close. Pretty close. KG made $217.9 million. Kirk Cousins, 185. Cat, 182. Pretty interesting. I mean, you play your whole 15-year career in a Minnesota uniform. That's tough to beat. Now, if Carlos does play out the three final years on his guaranteed contract, he will pass Joe Mauer. And Anthony Edwards is on pace to make $289 million. And has a lot of earning years ahead of him. If we can keep him, he'll blow everybody away. But he'll be at 289 by 2029. 5:32, that's the D-Rush Hour News headlines. In just a minute, I was just like blown away last night. Something during the NHL Stanley Cup Finals got me going, why? Why does hockey put up with these ridiculous fights in the middle of the match? We'll talk to Jesse Pierce, NHL.com writer covering the Wild. Jesse will join us in minutes here on CCO.